The name of the message tonight is The Lord Goes Before His People. The Lord goes before His people. Now, God had appointed Moses. He had appointed that Moses would not cross over into the promised land, would not cross over the Jordan. And tonight we see that although he could not go over, he encourages those who will go over the Jordan into the promised land. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now, the inability of Moses to go over to Jordan and the ability of Joshua should be something we notice or in this when looking at this passage. Moses' natural strength was not diminished, but the Lord had just said to him, "Thou shalt not go over this Jordan." The Lord had told him that. And we do need to remember that Moses is typical of the law in picture, and Joshua is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. And then we see how impossible it was for the law to bring souls to God. The law can never bring a sinner to Christ. It shows us our desperate need for him, but it can never bring us to Christ. And Joshua, being a picture of Christ, brings God's people over the Jordan into the promised land. And we know that that was all by the power of God. All by God's power. The scriptures declare, "For the law made nothing perfect, but a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God." Let's read here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, start in verse 1, and we'll just read the first 8 verses. "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee." Now take note of that little phrase right there. "He will go over before thee. And he will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Shion and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage, nor fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee." Again, we're told that he goes with them. "He will not fail thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." And here's our text in verse 8. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee." And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Oh, what words here before us. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Now each day we rise, not knowing what the day has in store for us. We have no idea, do we? We rise up each day. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow, are we? We don't know if we have tomorrow. Man makes lots of plans, thinking, "Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." But really, none of us have or are promised tomorrow. But we do know who holds our very life. We do know who holds our very life in his hands. We know who holds tomorrow, don't we? We who are the people of God, we know. We know that our great, sovereign, almighty God has us in his hands. We know that. So whatever tomorrow may bring or whatever the day may bring, we know that we are in his hands. Now the child of God can rest in this precious fact. But for those outside of Christ, the uncertainty of life often leads them to worry or be anxious and sometimes fill them with dread. Now, even the child of God is susceptible to those things, aren't we? If we're honest, we are. Because we're still sinners. We're saved sinners, as we sung. We're sinners saved by grace. But see, the world doesn't have a hope like the believer has. The world doesn't have Christ. But oh, what words of comfort are found here before us. Verse 3, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. And then in verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, the lost person is concerned with what lies before them. But the believer in Christ, oh, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the blessing, the privilege to be occupied while we're going through this world with he who is our guide, our captain, and he's our forerunner. He's gone before us, beloved. He's gone before us. Look at who is our guide. Look at Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Again, when we see the word Lord there, it's Jehovah, the self-existent one. The self-existent one. So what a difference this can make in the believer's life to know that God goes before us. He's gone before his people in the grand decree of predestination. And think upon this, beloved. Marvel at how the Lord goes before you. Your future's been marked out. You shall not tread a step which is not mapped on the grand chart of God's foreordination. And circumstances of your life have been divinely ordered. Now we know that God is not the author of sin. We know that. We know that. And we walk in this world and we're sinners. But nothing ever catches God by surprise. Nothing. Nothing. He is the God of the universe, and he rules over all. Over all. Nothing ever catches our God by surprise. Nothing. The world speaks of fate and chance and luck. We'll have nothing of that. We'll have nothing of that, beloved. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we know this only speaks of Christ and those who are in Christ. Only speaks of Christ. The believer's lot, as one commentator brings forth, is not one that has been decided by the whim of fickle fortune. No, beloved, the God of infinite wisdom and infinite love has arranged everything. And think upon this. God has appointed the bounds of your habitation. The bounds of your habitation. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. The scriptures declare this truth. Paul brings us forth when speaking on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. We'll read verses 22 to 31, but take note of verse 26 when we read that. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." And all religious folks are superstitious, and so is natural man. Very superstitious. Very superstitious. "For as I passed by, and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Now note, Paul boldly declares here, God made the world. He made the world. He made all things visible and invisible. All things therein. And not seeing that he's Lord of heaven. He's Lord. He's King. He rules over everything. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything. Does God need anything? No, he needs nothing. And we don't add anything to God, do we? We know that. He's unchanging. We studied that this morning on the immutability of God. He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never change. Never. Never. He doesn't need anyone or anything. He's God. He's God. This is the God of the Bible. Oh my. He needeth anything. He doesn't need anything. He giveth, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Even the very people who curse his name, he's given them breath and life. And hath made of one blood all nations for man to dwell on all the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed, and look at this, the bounds of their habitation. He's appointed the time when we were born, and he's appointed the time where we die. And he's appointed where we'll live and where we'll be in this life. He's God. He's God. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, this is speaking of the believers, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. So he's basically telling them, the God of the Bible isn't like the idols you've been manufacturing. He's not like that at all. He is so far above us, beloved. He is so far above us. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The gospel preacher proclaims, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Turn to Christ. He's the only hope for sinners. And we know that God, the Holy Spirit, when we're regenerated, grants us faith and repentance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that being Christ. The world will be judged in righteousness by Christ. And we will all be found weighed and wanting in our natural state. But praise God, the believer is clothed in the precious, perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. Our sins have already been dealt with at Calvary's cross. Already bought and paid for, beloved. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, being Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee of this again of this matter. So think upon this, beloved of God. You may be thrust into the furnace of affliction, and oftentimes we are. Oftentimes we are, and yet the Lord will not desert you. He'll not desert you. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave his people. You may be bought low, and yet it'll be for your future blessing. Remember what Scott Richardson said? The believer's either going into trouble, in trouble, or coming out of trouble. But the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He's ever with us. Think upon this. Has the Lord not gone before you in the preparations of his providence? And how do we know this well? Our dear brother Paul penned these words. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Our dear brother Paul penned these words while he was in prison for preaching the gospel. He penned these words. And this isn't like the false preacher word of faith guys bring out, that you'll get everything in Christ. The believer already has everything in Christ. All that a sinner needs is in Christ. Everything I need. And if you're a believer, you are far more wealthy than the wealthiest man in the world in Christ. And has our God not proved this to us? Look at this. My God shall supply all your need. What's our need? The forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need. How? According to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. By Christ Jesus. What do we need? We need the forgiveness of sins. We need our sins paid for, don't we? We need to be redeemed. Can we pay for one of our sins? Not one. Not one. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, paid for all the sins of his people. All the sins of his people. And has he not supplied all our spiritual needs, beloved? We have redemption in and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have justification before God in and through Christ alone. We are accepted in the beloved, accepted in Christ, accepted in him. We are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are adopted by God in and through Christ alone. We have forgiveness of all our sins in and through Christ alone. We have an inheritance waiting for us in glory, beloved. All because of what Christ has done on Calvary's cross in our place is the great substitute. And the law of God has no more demands on the believer. No more demands on the believer. Christ has fulfilled them all in our place. And the justice of God has been satisfied. It's being poured out on Christ for the believer. Are we not rich, beloved? Has God not supplied all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus when we ponder these precious truths? My. Then we can all praise our God. Every blood-bought child of God has full provision made for us in Christ. Full provision made for us in and through Christ as we walk through this world. Never forget the truth that's proclaimed in this verse. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 31:8. Never forget the truth that's proclaimed in this verse. Hold it close to your hearts, beloved. Hold it close to your hearts as we journey through this world. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Jehovah goes before us. Goes before us. Nothing in our lives catches him by surprise. No situation can overtake him because the scripture declares, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Absolutely nothing catches our sovereign God by surprise. Nothing catches us by surprise. Nothing catches him by surprise. And what comfort the believer can draw from this. What a well this is for us to draw from. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 65. Verse 24. Oh, the saint of God can take great comfort. Isaiah writes of our Lord in regards to his people here in Isaiah 65:24. He says, "And it shall come to pass," remember this is God speaking, "it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Wonderful. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 1. Have you ever considered that before we reach a place God has provided for us? Have you ever really pondered that? Wherever the road leads, all has been made ready. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 1. We'll read verses 21 to 33. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 to 33. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they will search us out the land, and bring us word again by the way we must go and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, excuse me, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. They just had this great deliverance occur, and they're already murmuring at God. Oh my. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. There it is again. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. Oh my. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Remember the great deliverance that had occurred? All by the power of God. All by the power of God. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went on until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you again. Who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. He was ever with them, wasn't he? He was guiding. He went before them, beloved. He went before them. Note in verse 33, it says that the Lord went in the way before you. Meaning Israel, which is a picture of the church, to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go in a cloud by day. If he did that for Israel, beloved, he does the same for his people. He's ever with us. He still goes before us, doesn't he? Still goes before his people right now. Right now. And so what comfort the people of God can glean from these verses. Our God is again the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If he watched over his people in the Old Testament, he watched over his people all the time. He goes before us all the time. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 14. And think of this, considering this precious truth, that the Lord ever goes before us, ever goes before his people, ever watches over his people, ever provides for his people. He's the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd. So think of that as we read these verses when our Lord was talking to the apostles. And we know this is true for us too. John 14, verses 1 to 4. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What's he say here? I go to prepare a place for you. He's gone before us, beloved. He's gone before us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. It says there, he's gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone before us, beloved. He's in glory. He's in glory. So think of how precious these verses are. Also for the gospel preacher, knowing that the Lord goes before the preacher. Goes before every believer. Every message I preach, every message the gospel preacher preaches, the Lord goes before. The Lord goes before us. He gives us the message to proclaim. He prepares the heart of the saint to receive that message, or the lost sheep to receive it if he's regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And he prepares the heart to receive the truth of salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And the believer rejoices We love it. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, there was a time in our natural state when we didn't love it. But oh, what a change when God, the Holy Spirit, regenerates us. When we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, what a change happens. We become new creatures in Christ, beloved. New creatures in Christ. And oh, how we love the gospel. Oh, how we love the Savior, which the gospel's all about Him. All about Him. Turn back to Deuteronomy 38, if you would. And then put your finger in Hebrews chapter 2. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And then put your finger, though, in Hebrews 2. We'll go there shortly. Deuteronomy 31, 8. I'll read it again. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So think of this. Our Lord knows how frail we are. And He has gone before us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Scriptures declare that He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and yet without sin. Yet without sin. The Lord of glory became incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He entered this world. He tabernacled here for 33 years in the flesh. Why? That He might be the captain of our salvation. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read verses 5 to 12. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. The whole reason He came here was to save His people from their sins. That's what the Scripture declares. Crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And that is what He is for the believer. He is the captain of our salvation. For both He that sanctify and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee. The Lord Jesus Christ ever goes before His sheep, beloved. Ever goes before His sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 4, it says, And when He putteth forth His sheep, He goeth before them. He goeth before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. See, the Scripture, this is a constant theme, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the Lord ever goes before us. He's ever watchful over us. He's the great shepherd and bishop of our souls, beloved. So what comfort again is found in trials and tribulations, knowing that our Lord has gone before us. The Scriptures declare, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. As we journey through this world, we are being conformed to the image of the Son. Shall we be called to pass through the valley of the shadow of death? Well, the believer in Christ has nothing to fear, for Christ has gone before him and extracted its sting. The Lord has gone before you and directs our steps by His Word and the Word of God is what? It's a lamp unto my feet, the Scriptures say. and a light unto my path. What does the Word of God, who does the Word of God point us to? Christ. Because the book is all about Him. All about His great redemption. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament were but types and pictures and shadows that pointed to the great Lamb of God, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we journey through this world, we look to Him. We look to Him. The Lord has gone before us, directs our steps. And this reveals the Scriptures, which are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It reveals the way of peace with God. The way of peace with God, which is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures reveal the way of blessings from God, which again come only through Christ and Christ alone, as we know that all spiritual blessings come to us through Christ. It makes known the path of righteousness, and it reveals to us Christ, who is our righteousness. Christ, who is our righteousness. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Shepherd, and it is He who guides and directs our way. We'll see this in Psalm 37. Let's read verses 23 to 26. Look at this. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. And we know we're only good in Christ. When outside of Christ, they're no good. This can only be said of a believing man who's clothed in the precious, perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. That's all. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. God's people delight in the ways of Christ. We delight in His ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And we fall many times, beloved, because we're sinners, aren't we? We're saved sinners, we who are being born again by the Holy Spirit of God and our trust in Christ, but, oh, we fall. But look at this, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It's the Lord who keeps us. It's the Lord who keeps us. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Oh, Lord, or oh, beloved, our Lord ever goes before us. He ever goes before us. He watches over us. We stumble and fall, and he picks us right back up, beloved. Oh, what comfort we can find here. Now turn, if you would, to Psalm 73. The Scriptures declare that our great God will guide His people. Asaph wrote this psalm about our great God in Psalm 73. Look at this in Psalm 73. We'll read verses 24 to 28. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And when does He guide us? All the time, beloved. All the time. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Remember the bride and the bridegroom when we studied Song of Solomon? Remember how the bridegroom was enamored with the bride, which is a picture of the church, but the church, the bride is also enamored with the bridegroom. Oh, we love our Savior, don't we? We love Him. We love Him. And there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far off from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. Have you put your trust in the Lord? The believer says, yea. Yea, he's everything to me. He's everything to me. Oh my, if you don't trust the Lord, I pray that God would make you willing. Oh, to trust Christ, to turn to Christ. So think about how the Lord provides for His people. And think of how the Lord has gone before you, believer. You who are the beloved of God. Look back. We often say, look back and see what the Lord's done. Marvel in what he's done for you. Oh, he's gone before us in provisions of his promises. And remember that all the promises of God are in Christ, yea and amen. They're yea and amen. And again, all that a sinner needs is found in Christ. All that a sinner needs is found in Christ. And God knows our needs. And he knows what can fulfill our needs. And Christ is the one, again, who all our needs are fulfilled in. We're a needy people. We're a needy people. But all our need is found in Christ. So look back, beloved, you who are the beloved of God. Look back on your life as a believer in Christ. And you will see evidence. You will see evidence of God's faithfulness to you. Oh my. Doesn't take long for us to look back either, does it? Oh my. And we even see stuff before we're saved, how he preserves us and keeps us, eh? Oh my. Never forget God's faithfulness to you. Never forget that whatever tomorrow may hold, the divine promises of God in Christ assure the Christian that the Lord has gone before them. Before them. And he has made every provision for his people. Again, remember what we read in John 14. I'll read it again. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, circumstances often come up in our lives that trouble us. Oftentimes. But the scriptures declare there in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And note, he's not gone there to prepare a place for himself. No, beloved, our Lord has returned to where he's come from. He's returned to where he's come. He come from glory. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's gone back home. He's gone back home. He's preparing a place for us. Oh my, he has. He has. He's speaking to his people. He proclaims, I go to prepare a place for you. Again, he's going before us. He's going before us. And how this brings forth the love that Christ has for his blood-bought bride. He left the glories and splendors of heaven to come to this sin-cursed earth to redeem his people from their sins. And he purchased his people on Calvary's cross, beloved. He paid everything that God demanded for the sins of his people. Everything. Everything. And how did he do it? But with his own precious blood. And now he's risen and returned to glory, and he has prepared a place for us. So again, we see that our Lord ever goes before his people. Deuteronomy again says, the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. And this brings real comfort to the believer in Christ. This is why the preacher says, fix your eyes upon Christ. Keep looking to him, beloved of God. Keep looking to him, no matter what comes our way. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The believer by faith looked unto Jesus, and we keep looking to him, don't we? We keep looking to him. If you're looking to him, you're looking away from everything else. You're looking away from everything else. Sometimes in religion, folks get looking at one another. I know I was there. Start looking at one another, and they got no eyes on Christ. Oh my. The believer looks to Christ and Christ alone. We look to him. We look to him, we see our own sinfulness, don't we? We see our own sinfulness. Oh my, we just look to Christ. And if we're looking to Him, we're looking away from everything else. And if you are trusting and looking to Him, then you're trusting no other. The Lord is our guide. We follow Him. Remember I mentioned John 10:4, which says, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." We looked at that this morning, didn't we? We looked at that this morning. God's sheep follow the great shepherd of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does He do? He makes us to lie down in green pastures, beloved. He restoreth our soul. And goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. All the days of our life. Let's look at that verse one more time. Deuteronomy 31:8. What a verse of help this is during times of fear or anxiety. To know that the Lord, Jehovah Himself, goes before us. Goes before us. Look at this in Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, being Jehovah, the self-existent one, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. Notice it's not He might be. Oh, what a promise here for God's people. He will be with thee. And then it says, He will not fail thee. And it just gets better, beloved. Neither forsake thee. We know in the New Testament, it said, the Lord will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the word never in the Greek in that verse is in the triple negative. He will never, not ever, ever leave His people. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So God goes before all His people. And God's people's hearts are comforted, knowing that we are guided and directed by Him. Now, this does not mean that all will go smooth in our lives. No, we just need to read the Acts of the Apostles, right? The book of Acts, and we can find out real quickly that everything doesn't go smoothly for the believer. But oh, what peace we can draw from a verse like this. Knowing that He ever goes before us, no matter what comes our way. Knowing that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Never. Believer goes through trials and tribulations and suffering during this life. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So the comfort the believer can find here is that despite all these things which occur in our lives, beloved, we are never, never alone. And the Lord has ever gone before us. Goes before His people, guiding, directing us in our ways. And how do we know that? The Lord spoke these words to the disciple, and we know that these are true for us too. And we're closed with this. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful truths which we find in Scripture. The wonderful fact that You are ever with Your people, that You ever go before us. Oh Lord, we pray for the work here. This is Your work. This is Your church, oh Lord. And we know that You ever go before us and guide us and direct us. And we know that each believer, You're in our lives, You ever go before us, watching over us and protecting us. And though we fall, yet You bring us and pick us right back up, oh Lord, taking care of us. All by Thy sovereign hand and all by Thy almighty power. Lord, may we think upon the things which we've studied tonight. May they bring comfort to the hearts of Your people, O Lord. We glorify and magnify You. We're quick to give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.